Hello, my friend.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Great. I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me today.
No worries, dude. I'm glad to be here.
I wanted to ask about the recording process for the new single. How did it come?
Which new single? The one that's out or the one that's coming out? Sorry.
City Harbor, Hunter.
City Hunter? Oh, okay. Yeah, man. I mean, whatever you want to know, man, ask away.
How did the initial riffs come to you?
Honestly, I like to just sit down and I just fuck around. And can I cuss? Is that cool?
Absolutely.
I like to just sit around. I fuck around a little bit, and then sometimes things just kind of fall into place. And then I like to go back and figure out, like, okay, what was I doing? Okay, this is in D minor. All right, cool. I'm gonna do this over that. So, you know, it's kind of like throw a bunch of ingredients into a bowl and mix it and cook it and see what comes out.
And as far as the material is concerned, will there be a full length in the future?
Yes, currently working on that. I'm a month behind schedule because I got a real bad case of laryngitis. And so that kind of set us back on the scheduling. But we're back up and running right now. We're mastering the next single today, actually. So
oh, that should excellent. Be good.
Yeah, so that should be good.
And would you say the next single's in the same vein as City Hunter?
Yes, same vein in terms of style. Different slightly. It's a little bit longer, I think. It took a more progressive approach, I guess you would say. But yeah, it would be in the same vein.
And as far as the future releases, is there a video release in the upcoming future?
I'd like there to be a video release, but budget speaking wise, not anytime soon. Although we have been making our own little promo videos. We've been kind of collecting a lot of those, and hopefully we'll be releasing a bunch of promo videos, which I guess will coincide with the songs that are coming out. But in terms of professional videos, nah, man, we don't got the budget.
And I wanted to ask you, upon release, will there be a tour?
I don't know, man. Probably some SoCal stuff. I got a buddy in Nashville who we're talking to. Maybe we'll make our way out that way. And I got another guy over in Philadelphia who wants to do a show with us. So it's possible we can link some stuff up between California and Philadelphia, some places in between. But other than that, this summer we're going to Japan to do a few shows. So I guess that counts.
That's excellent. Because I think if everything's in the vein of City Hunter, man, this stuff is definitely kick-ass stuff.
Oh, thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
I wanted you to take me back to the beginning. How did this band start?
So me and a buddy of mine, we were going to music school out in Hollywood. And at the time, man, everybody was like, oh, dude, my guitar's got 8 strings. My guitar's got 9 strings. Everybody wanted to go lower and slower and just who can be the heaviest. And me and my buddy were like, man, to us, it just didn't seem like heavy metal anymore. So we wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit. Like, let's look at who we like, you know, guys like Judas Priest, Motorhead, Iron Maiden. Let's just try and do something like that. You know, we weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. We were just trying to, you know, what we liked. And so that's kind of how we started.
At the end of the day, it's all about the feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really about tonality. It's more about the feeling and the expression of it all. And I think you express it in City Hunter because it's a raw, just straight out, straightforward kick-ass tune.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that a lot. Yeah.
And I want to ask you as well about your development. At what age did you begin? And how we are here?
I actually started pretty young, man. I was about 5 or 6. I was obsessed with like all my dad's heavy metal albums. And one day we're just driving down the road and I was like rocking out to like, I don't know, man, it could have been Van Halen. It could have been Metallica. I don't even know it anymore, you know? But my dad just looks at me and says, you want to do that? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to do that. I mean, I didn't say that. I was 5, but I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Right. And next thing I know, we pull over to a pawn shop and he bought me a guitar for my birthday. And it's just been that ever since, man.
And are you a lessons guy, or did you self-teach yourself on guitar?
I tried to teach myself for the first 10 or so years. And then around high school, I decided to get more serious. And I had a friend who was a guitar teacher, so he started teaching me. And then after high school, instead of going to college, I decided to go to music school. And I took it pretty seriously. So I ended up getting a degree in music theory.
And I also wanted to ask you, along your journey in music, what do you feel has been the best advice that's been given to you along the way?
The best advice that I ever received for music, especially, was my very first day in music college. The head guitar teacher made us all stand up, and he's like, look to the guy to the left, look to the guy to the right. You're never going to be as good as them. You can only be as good as yourself. So stop trying to be as good as your friends. Stop trying to be as good as your heroes, and just be the best guitar player you can be. And that really spoke to me. I stopped caring about, like, you know, oh man, I'm not as fast as this guy. I'm not as technical as that guy. And I was just like, what can I do to improve myself?
Absolutely. And that's the basis of all of it, right?
I mean, yeah. Once you stop giving a shit about what other people think, you start having fun.
Right. You know, Satriani taught Bai how to play guitar.
And yeah.
I'm sure he thought, here's just another kid, you know.
And, yeah.
You know, look what Bai turned out to be. So it all comes from, you know, just finding your own self, your own tones, and your own feel, you know.
100%, man.
I wanted to ask you as well, with this upcoming release, do you feel that this is a big point for the band as well?
Yeah, I do. You know, we started a long time ago, but due to either just always being broke or people having to leave because of jobs or getting deported, you know, it was like one back step after another. And I think finally releasing all this stuff has just been a big thing all together. It's just finally having the means to be able to put everything out that we've been recording or working on for years.
And it sounds very cohesive. Would you feel that this is the best chemistry this band has built?
Yes, I do. Especially this group that we have right now, man, it just kind of all fell into place. And everybody just really gets along, dude. It's everybody clicks. We're basically just four of the same guy. So
I also wanted to ask you, when you're not working on music and you're not doing whatever job it is that you do, what do you find is the best way for you to relax and to unwind? Do you have any hobbies that you enjoy?
Man, I mean, music is my hobby. So really, this is my form of relaxing, you know? I don't really do anything else. If I'm not working, I'm doing music. So that's my go-to.
And as far as the release of the album, when can we look forward to seeing the release of this album?
I'm hoping for mid to end of the summer. So sometime around July or August. Like I said, we're a little bit behind schedule because I got laryngitis during the recording process. It set us back a couple weeks. But as of right now, everything's pretty much recorded. I just need to finish the vocals, and we just need to master everything. But that's, easier said than done. Kind of a perfectionist. I don't want to release a half-assed product, you know? I've re-recorded the vocals on this next single about four or five times now, just because if it's not exactly how I need it to be, then I'm not going to release it, you know? And that might be detrimental, but I don't know. I like to treat each and every song as its own thing and not just a filler.
Sure, absolutely. And at the end of the day, that's what we all look for. We look for that album we can just put on and let it ride.
Yeah. Hopefully this will be that. But, you know, if it's not, hey, whatever, man. You know, like, I'm just putting out what I like. And if people like that too, cool. If not, That sucks, but hey, man, at least I did it.
And I wanted to ask you as well, is this a DIY project? Or are you actually in the studio with a label?
No, this is DIY. I mean, we did go to a studio for the drums, and that's simply because I don't have enough microphones for the drums. Everything else, man, I've, you know, over the years acquired everything I needed. I've either built isolation booths or, you know, just learned through trial and error how to mic everything, how to mix and master. And so everything you hear, it's 100% done by us, except for, you know, we raw tracked the drums in a studio, and then I went back later and mixed and mastered them and did all the EQing and shit on my own. So everything you hear is just 100% the band. Huh?
And I also wanted to express the clean sound that you have. Do you have go-to gear that you use?
Yeah, I do. So for pretty much all the guitars, I use Ormsby. They're a brand from Australia. I mean, I just have no problems with that thing. It stays in tune. And for amps, dude, I just use either Mesa Boogie or EVH. And
I wanted to ask you, upon release, what is the best way to get merchandise from you and physical copies of the release?
We are working on that right now. So if you guys follow our Instagram, we will keep everybody updated on that. Before this, the only way to get our merch was at shows. That's just because that's pretty much all we had going on with shows. Sure. So we'd sell t-shirts and shit there. But we're working on getting new merch. So obviously there's got to be physical copies of the CD. We're getting more t-shirt designs made and some patches and pins, you know, the typical band shit. We're going to work on, like, getting that stuff put online so that way people can order it. And if not, you know, they can contact us on Instagram, dude. I'll send it straight to the person myself. I'll go down to the post office and send it out.
And I wanted to ask you as well, as far as the concert experience, what can fans expect from this band live?
I mean, live, you know, man, I try to put on the best show I can. Our bass player is pretty wild. Unfortunately, I'm chained to a microphone half the time, so I kind of have to stand in place to sing. But when I'm not singing, you know, we all like to headbang, move around and shit, you know, fuck around with the crowd a little bit, talk shit, have some fun, you know. We take our music seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. So,
and if you could pick your top three influential guitarists, who would they be?
Oh, fuck, that's a hard question, man. Depends on the day. I guess Akira Takasaki from Loudness is probably one of my favorite guitar players, man. He's one of the most underrated guitar players, but he's super influential. Paul Gilbert, he was a big step for me into taking music fucking seriously. And I guess the last guy's got to be Randy Rhoads. I mean, you know, he's buried like maybe 20 miles from my house, and I grew up knowing that Randy Rhoads was from the same part of the world that I was from, so it was kind of cool knowing this legend was from a fucking little shithole like me.
Yeah, and it's amazing, you know, speaking of Akira Takasaki, you know, you listen to, you know, like Exploder, for example, and you're just like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes you want to put down the guitar and say, well, I guess this isn't for me. You know,
oh, yeah, man.
His speed, his clarity is unbelievable.
Oh, and he's so, like, unorthodox and out of the box with some of the stuff he does, man. Like, especially with his riffs. I learned a lot of his riffs. I'm just like, how the fuck did he think of doing this?
Yeah,
he's a great guitar player.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give a message to your fans, what would that message be?
Fucking do what you want to do with your life, man. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't do what other people tell you to do. Do what's in your heart. Even if it takes you 30 years, just keep doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a great, great statement because years ago, yeah, I never would have thought of doing this podcast and bringing music into light. And it's actually my daughter that said to me, hey, you know, if there is a heavy metal trivia show on TV, you'd fucking win $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
She said, you should do something with that. you know, and I was lucky being an older guy. I got to see, like, you know, for example, I seen Iron Maiden open up for Judas Priest, their number, the Beast Tour, and Priest Screaming for Vengeance Tour.
Damn, that's fucking badass.
And that's, you know, classic moments, and that, you know, we look forward to seeing that again. And that brings me to another question I did want to ask you, is that what do you feel is the next step in metal? Who do you think is going to take the keys away from the gatekeepers?
Man, I'm not sure. If you had asked me that about 5 or 6 years ago, I would have said someone like Enforcer. But, you know, now they're getting older too. I would still say bands in that vein. I really feel like the whole movement of down tuning and, you know, chugging and just all that stuff, it's cool. And I have nothing against it other than that, you know, eventually it's going to have to rebound back to the old school sound. You know, it sucks that all these dudes that I looked up to growing up are all either dying off or retiring. It's going to have to be a band that's like that. I mean, it's got for it to continue to be mainstream or at least palatable to a wider audience to stay alive, so to speak, and not be like punk where it's significantly underground. It's going to have to be marketable. And so it's going to have to be bands like Iron Maiden. So anybody who sounds like them, that's going to be the next one. I would still say probably a band like Enforcer. I think they're doing the most for heavy metal right now. If they're not playing shows, they're mixing other people's albums. They're, you know, remastering for other bands. And if they're not doing that, they're helping push other bands, at least over in Europe. I've seen them in America a few times, and they normally bring a lot of local bands to tour with them. Either those guys or Ex Mortis. I don't know if you've heard Ex Mortis yet, but they're doing a lot of great shit.
And if I was, you know, if I was asked the same question like 10 years ago, or maybe 15, I would have said, well, I think Iced Earth was going to do it.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, that band, unfortunately, has been through so many changes that they haven't, you know, made that established lineup that would have taken them to that point.
You know, now that I think about it, there's a lot of great bands coming out of Canada right now, and one of them in particular is Riot City. I think they might be able to carry that torch.
You know, I think that's the thing. You know, metal fans are our best fans in the world, and we're all looking for that someone to take that and run with it, you know, and to carry on, you know, because, you know, we have seen Kiss exit. We've seen so many major bands exit. And, you know, we're all dying for that big arena feel.
Yeah, that's something that's missing too. You know, the only band that's even coming close to doing the big arena thing right now is Ghost. And whether or not their metal is up to interpretation, I personally love them. But I know they're not everybody's cup of tea.
I think it's amazing that Tobias has, you know, I don't know if you've read any interviews with him, but he has literally the next 5 years planned out. He's playing that band's entire career.
Yeah, say what you want about him being a control freak or an asshole. The dude's he's definitely a smart businessman.
Oh, yeah. And an amazing songwriter as well.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I don't care what anybody says, man. Ghost kicks ass.
Well, I wanted to thank you, my friend, for taking time to speak with me. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me, man. It's a great opportunity, and I really appreciate it.
And I'd love the opportunity to speak with you once this album is released.
Well, I will be the first to let you know.
All right. Thank you, my friend. And you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. Okay.